down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. Hallelujah forevermore. That we may have light. He came down that we may have light. He came down that we may have light. He came down that we may have light. Hallelujah forevermore. That we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. Hallelujah forevermore. That we may have joy. Came down that we may have joy. He came down that we may have joy. He came down that we may have joy. Hallelujah forevermore. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after the wise men... Yes. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt. And remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Now when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." So then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth. So that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, he will be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. Our reading from Matthew's Gospel this morning strikes a pretty stark contrast to our reading from Luke's Nativity just a few days ago. How did we go from the sweet and much beloved birth narrative to this horrifying tale of a paranoid, depraved, murderous despot bent on infanticide? It feels that much more startling given our plans to baptize one of the youngest in our midst this morning. Here we are, still warmed by the hum of our holiday gatherings and festivities, primed and prepped to receive a new member into our fold. And what do we hear about this morning? A horror so unspeakably terrible that it can cause, has caused for some, a real challenge to our faith in God. passages from Scripture that describe incidences like this. Actions in global history and even tragic experiences in our own personal lives can provoke a deep and challenging question about the nature of God and the existence and persistence of evil. In theological circles, we call this theodicy. The question, if God is all-knowing and all-powerful and the source of everything that is good, why does suffering exist? It is a complex question, one faced by anyone who has experienced tragedy and grief, or by anyone who has ever picked up a newspaper. And quite frankly, it is a question for which there is no satisfying answer. Evil is, quite simply, a reality. Just a cursory glance at this morning's headlines, and you'll be quickly confronted with the reality of evil in our world. Wars rage all over, unabated. Violence rears its ugly head around nearly every corner. Hatred seems to launch more quickly than love from most lips these days. In the words of my dearly departed great aunt Arlene, whenever she was asked to pray at family gatherings, she would shake her head and lament and ask God for mercy on this sin-sick world. In 1966, Simon and Garfunkel put out an album called Rosemary, Sage, and Thyme. I forget what the name of the album is. But the last track on that album was a track called 7 o'clock News, Silent Night. A piano plays simply while Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel sing in their beautiful two-part harmony the words of Silent Night, the song we just finished our worship with a few nights ago. But as they sing, slowly creeps in the news report from 7 o'clock, listing items as varied as political discord, war seeping in, violence, murder, death. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? As much as we want to bask in the glow of our candlelight singing of Silent Night, evil persists. Christ's existence isn't simply necessary so that our hearts and fears may be calmed. But so the systems of this world, the mechanisms we have established to maintain our own sinfulness, so that they might be disrupted, dismantled, and reconstructed to pursue justice for all, mercy towards one another, and service to the weak, the sick, and the poor. We may not be as bad as Herod. We may not even know an evil quite so potent and plain as his. But we know what greed looks like, don't we? We know what arrogance sounds like. We know what unbridled lust for power looks like. And we know where apathy to it all will get us, don't we? We risk everything if we only remember the birth of the Christ child as a moment in time, a quaint and quiet scene for us to remember. The birth of the Christ child, the revelation of God incarnate, the dawn of Emmanuel, God is with us, marks the beginning of a movement, A movement so powerful that it stokes the terror of kings and unmasks the evil that rests inside the seats of power. And it is a movement that hasn't stopped yet. I'm going to say that again. It is a movement that hasn't stopped yet. This morning, we take another bold step forward in this movement that God calls us into as we gather around the font to welcome little but mighty Finley into the body of Christ as a beloved child of God. We do so by making promises. Promises both to him and on his behalf. I want you to pull out your hymnal, if you can, the big red book. And at the very front, in the small numbers, I want you to find page 228. Not the hymns, but here in the orders of service, right at the very beginning of the book. Right in the middle of the page is a list of promises. Called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace of the love of God, we ask those bringing their children to be baptized. And that doesn't just mean Finley's mom and dad, but everyone gathered here. We ask them to make these promises, to own up to these responsibilities. I invite you to read them with me. To live with them among God's faithful people. Do you have it there? Let's read it out loud, please. To live with them among God's faithful people. To bring them to the Word of God and the Holy Supper. Teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Place in their hands the Holy Scriptures and nurture them in faith and in prayer so that our children may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Just as we confess our faith using those old words of the Apostles' Creed, just as we renounce the forces of evil that would drive us away from our God, so too do we make these promises. To live in community, to hear the word and break bread together, to teach and to care for one another so that we may all know the love of God in Christ Jesus. And equipped with that knowledge that we may all go out into the world to proclaim that love in all that we say and do, to care for others and all of creation, and to work tirelessly for justice and peace. Christmas isn't just a moment frozen in time. Christmas is a movement that began long before any of us and will outlast even little and mighty Finley here. Evil persists, yes. But in the holy words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Please pray with me. God of mercy, let the glow of Christmas light a fire within each and every one of us here so that we might find the strength to continue this movement of spreading the good news of your abundant and steadfast love to all who are in need this day, this Christmas, and always. Amen.